I bet on the floor over there.
Oh, no.
We thank you, Pastor Graber, Faith Missionary Baptist Church, for the invitation to once again stand here, bring the Word of God. We thank you for your care, your hospitality, and all that you do to make these services special. We'd invite you to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation, chapter 1. Verse 4 through 7. Revelation 1, verse 4 through 7. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We see Jesus. We see Jesus as our coming King. We want to preach as the Lord will help us and allow us and be pleased to give us the words on the message. We see Jesus, our coming King, and they that are with him. They that are with him. Revelation 1 here reveals to us that Jesus Christ is in heaven with the Father, and John sees the glorified Christ. And he's given the singular revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the whole book is about. The revealing of Jesus Christ as the King, as the coming King. In verse number 4, John writes under inspiration to the seven churches which are in Asia, saying, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. I believe that's God the Father. Grace and peace from God the Father. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. I believe that's the Holy Spirit. Grace and peace be from the Father. Grace and peace be from the Spirit. And also in verse number 5, from Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be to you from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. He declares in verse number 5, that unto him that loved us, connecting it with verse number 6, to him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. He is called the Prince or the King of Kings in our text, verse number 5. He's the King of the kings of the earth. And verse number 7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Behold, he comes. Behold, he comes. This King Jesus, our King, the King of Kings, the King of Kings of the world, he comes. He's coming. Look over to Revelation 17. Revelation chapter 17. Let's read verse 1 through 6. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a gold cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. I believe Jesus Christ is pictured as coming for his people in Revelation chapter 4. I believe that door in heaven pictures for us the rapture and the calling up of God's people. And that scene that we just heard about in chapter 5 is in heaven. And Jesus Christ is seen as the only one found worthy to open the book. And beginning with the opening of that book, from Revelation chapter 6 all the way to about chapter 19, it's all about the tribulation period, which I believe is a real literal 7-year period upon this earth. How can you not believe in the 7-year tribulation period when most of the book of Revelation deals with it? I mean, does it got to hit you between the eyes or upside the head? And during the tribulation period, the Antichrist comes. Wake up, folks. The Antichrist comes speaking peace. The Antichrist comes declaring that he is able to bring peace. Peace particularly to the Promised Land. Peace particularly to the Holy Land. Peace particularly to the East, Middle East. He comes promising, I can bring peace between Israel and the other nations of the world. The stage is set.
That's right.
These things could happen today. I believe that the tribulation period is 7 years long. The Antichrist has to come on the scene and probably mimic Christ in every way possible. And I think when the Antichrist comes, he's probably most likely going to be the same age Christ was during his ministry. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do the math, figure out that the tribulation period is for 7 years. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene after the rapture of the people. He's going to be somewhere around the same age Christ was. That tells me he's got to be here now. I believe he's somewhere on the earth right now, this one who's going to arise. Are you looking for the coming of Jesus Christ? Well, look around. The signs are everywhere. The tribulation period is a horrific time, and it's unimaginable. But it's not all that unimaginable when you consider all that we see going on in the world today. Floods and fires and natural disasters and people dying by the thousands. What we see portrayed and pictured and prophesied during the tribulation period is going on around us right now.
Right.
So it's very feasible, it's very possible. Of course, with God, all things are possible. During the tribulation period, the Antichrist arises and comes on the scene, maneuvering and bringing about this great peace with Israel, which we know he's going to break about halfway through the tribulation period. Become a great persecutor of Israel. During the tribulation period, this beast, this system, this religious system, this worldwide religious system is going to arise. Called Babylon. It's called Mystery Babylon. And I told the people Wednesday night as we go through the book of Revelation, looking for Jesus, looking at Jesus. The only way, speaking as a man, the only way all that the Antichrist is going to accomplish and the coming of that one world religion and that one world political machine, the only way that those things can happen in such a brief period of time is if you find the seeds of those in our current day. And this great whore that's being talked about, and I use that word cautiously, I know it's an offensive word, but it's a Bible word. And God uses this word to describe the nature of Babylon, Mystery Babylon. But for this to come on the scene, seems like there's got to be some things going on in our present time. And my belief is, and my conviction is, and that's all I can preach is my conviction. I can't preach yours. And I don't have the time to sit around and tell you everything the Bible doesn't say or everything the Bible doesn't mean. I don't have time to talk about those who see things differently. I have barely enough time to tell you what I believe and what the Lord's given me. And I think what is going to be the springboard for this great worldwide religious system during the tribulation period is the Roman Catholic Church. I believe she is a religious organization, but she is a very wealthy commercial organization. And during the tribulation period, the Antichrist comes on the scene and this worldwide religion is formed from seedlings that are going on in our world today. But that's getting sidetracked. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He's the King of the kings of the earth. And here in Revelation chapter 17, you have the kings of the earth. During the tribulation period, you have the kings of the earth in relationship with the great whore, Mystery Babylon. It says in verse number 2, in relationship to this great whore that setteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The kings of the earth are going to be in bed with the great whore, with Mystery Babylon, this massive worldwide religion of the tribulation period. Which religion is going to exalt the Antichrist and place him so that he is worshipped? The Antichrist is going to be worshipped during the tribulation period. And the kings of the earth are all snuggled up with this great, horrible, religious organization. And the Lord says through this angel that had the seven vials, the Lord said to John, "Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore." I will show you the judgment, or the demise. Or as I place this probably right at the end of the tribulation period, I will show you the end of Mystery Babylon, who has the kings of the earth committing fornication, and inhabitants of the earth being made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Go down to verse number 12. "And the ten horns which thou sawest are the ten kings." The ten horns are mentioned in verse number 3. "And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." So you have the great whore, this massive religious system of the tribulation period, with the kings of the earth snuggled up next to her and involved with her in a relationship with her. And the Lord says, "Let me show you what's going to happen. Let me show you what's going to happen to her." He speaks about the kings of the earth. Go over to verse number 16. "And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdoms unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." Look at the great whore, this great religious system that is promoting the worship of Antichrist, not the worship of Christ, worship of God. And all the kings of the earth are involved with her. All the kings of the earth. "Well, let me show you her destruction." And John is shown that her destruction comes at the hand of these very kings that are described in the first part of this chapter. And the ten horns, those kings of the earth that thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. The great whore is going to come to an end at the very hand of those kings of the earth that are so much working with her, involved with her. And who do we have to blame for this? These kings turning against the great whore and destroying her. Who do we have to blame for this? Almighty God!
Amen.
Verse number 17, "For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God be fulfilled." These kings of the earth are going to turn on the great harlot and destroy her. And it is God who's going to turn their hearts upon her. It is God who's going to use them to destroy her. Don't tell me God's not sovereign. Don't tell me God's not in control of everything. Don't tell me the God of the Bible, the God of love, doesn't have a side where He displays anger and wrath justly. They will be destroyed at the very kings of the earth. The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So these kings that are involved with the great harlot will be used of God to destroy her towards the end of the tribulation period. These kings of the earth, where we saw in Revelation 1, Jesus is the King of the kings of the earth. These kings that are used to destroy the great harlot of the tribulation period are referenced in verse number 14. These kings of the earth shall make war with who? Shall make war with the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? The Lamb is Jesus Christ. The Lamb is the one who was found worthy to open the seals. The Lamb is the one who is identified as the King of kings, the King of the kings of the earth. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. These great kings of this tribulation period shall decide to make war with Christ. Who do you think wins? We've already heard who wins. Jesus wins. Christ wins. Why does He win? Verse number 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For. Pay attention now to that word for. Because. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, because He is the Lord of lords. Amen. He is the King of kings. Amen. That's why He overcomes them. Amen. That's why in the end He wins. That's why the kings of the earth, which will work for the Antichrist and the great harlot and the commercial side of Babylon, when they rise against Jesus Christ, they're going to be destroyed because He's their king. He's the king of them, king over them. He's the King of kings. It's unquestionable. Who's going to win? In the end, Jesus Christ is. These kings make war with the Lamb. The Lamb overcomes them because He is the King of kings. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Verse 11. And I saw heaven opened. Oh, the imagery here. It's not possible, but I try to imagine. Here comes Jesus. Here comes the King of kings, on that white horse.
Amen.
And this is what Revelation is all about. This is what the second coming of Christ is all about. The rapture is His coming in the air to take up His people. But He's going to come all the way to the earth. And that's what happens here in Revelation 19. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen.
These kings of the earth are subject to the King, the King of kings, Jesus Christ. Though they show loyalty to a false Christ during the tribulation period, God will use them to destroy that horrific, ungodly, abominable system called Mystery Babylon. And they make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb wins because He's the King of kings. And here's where He destroys them. Here's where He wins. He gets on that horse. He has on His vesture the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Go down to verse number 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth. There they are again. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against Him that sat on the horse and against His army. Here it is. The stage is set. Armageddon, if you would. These kings of the earth make war with the Lamb. He defeats them because He is the King of kings. And He gets on this horse and He comes down to do battle with them. And John saw in verse number 19, the kings of this earth gathered together. That area of the world where we would say is found the Valley of Megiddo, Armageddon. All the armies of the world come to destroy or fight against the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. And I like how uneventful this comes to an end. All the armies of the world, all these kings of the earth and all their might, they're going to take on Jesus. And once and for all, we're going to take care of Jesus. And Jesus comes and with the word of His mouth, the sword that comes from His mouth, destroys them all. None of those who come with Jesus fire a shot. None of those who come with Jesus have any part of the conflict. They're just there watching. As the King of kings and Lord of lords comes against the kings of the earth and the armies of the world. And it says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. These kings of the earth are subject to the King of Kings.
Amen.
Though they don't manifest that during the tribulation period, they're destroyed, and they ultimately, as we've heard a little while ago, they'll have to bow their knee to the King of Kings. King of Kings. Jesus destroys these kings of the earth. He destroys the beast, the Antichrist, the false prophet. They're cast alive in the lake of fire. And I've always understood the lake of fire to be the place of judgment where you go to never to return. They're never going to be seen from again. We know the devil, though, is cast into the abyss, the bottomless pit. And he's cast there for just a little while before he comes out again. And I'm sure you know the facts. He's placed there for 1,000 years. Literal, real, 1,000 years. And he's released for a short season. And if you want to see a picture of the depravity of man, no matter what kind of environment he is found in, those people that are naturally born during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, when the devil is released for a short season, you know what they're going to do? They're going to go after Jesus again. They're going to side up with the devil again. That shows you the depravity of man. The total depravity of man. Man's not a sinner because he's got a bad environment. He's a sinner because he's broken. His nature is corrupt. And born in the flesh, those during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ are going to line up against Christ. And the Lord makes a short order of that. I'm going to go back to verse 14 of chapter 17. These kings of the earth that Jesus is the king of, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, as we see in chapter 19 specifically, because he is the Lord of those little lords and the king of those little kings. Notice that next statement. And they that are with him, they that are with the Lamb, they that are with the King, they that are with our Lord, are called and chosen and faithful. Do you ever think about those that are with the Lord? I do. Because I'm going to be there. Some guy, I forget who it was, I was reading, raised this idea, this thought of when John sees all of the saved after the rapture, the resurrection, when John sees all these people gathered in heaven, when he saw all those people, did he see you? I know we can't go too far with that. But somewhere in there, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're going to be taken when He takes His people home there in the rapture, or you're a part of that first resurrection, He saw you there. He saw you there. He saw me there. So we see the King of Kings and they that are with Him. Chapter 19, verse number 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. We're just not talking about angels. But the armies which are in heaven are the armies of God's people. See, I see the rapture taking place, and when we're taken up and I go up to be with the Lord, I believe from that moment on, wherever you find Jesus, that's where I'm going to be. Yeah. That's where the people of God are going to be. And so as Jesus is in heaven, opening these seals and these judgments and pouring out God's wrath upon the earth, we're going to be in heaven with Him. And when He gets on this horse to come down to destroy these enemies, I really have a good idea. We're going to be with Him. We're going to be with Him. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses. How in the world are they going to find that many horses? How in the world are they going to find that many white horses? It's not a problem with God. And when the Lord comes, He's going to bring His people with Him. Those that are with Him are going to watch as He declares Himself to be King. Amen. King of Kings. Jude. The book of Jude, verse 14. Jude, verse 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Behold, the Lord comes. He comes with His saints. He comes with 10,000s of His saints. He comes riding that white horse. The armies of the world, heaven, come with Him. Jesus Christ destroys those kings of the earth. And mention is made of those that are with Him. Those that are with Him. God's people are always going to be with Him. Always going to be with the Lord. If you know Him, you're going to be with Him. Because He's our King.
Amen.
He's the King of Kings. 1 Thessalonians 3. Just looking at passages of Scripture where Christ is seen and those that are with Him. 12 and 13 of chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, I'm sorry. Verse 5 through 10. Make sure I'm same place you are. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, so you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. He's the King of kings. He's the King of the kings of the earth. And one day he's going to come and destroy all of his enemies and the armies of the world. He's going to destroy the kings of the earth that come against him. And he speaks to those in Revelation 17, that are with him, them that are with him. It says in Revelation 17, verse 12, for God hath put, that's not one, all, verse 14 of chapter 17, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Amen. In all periods of human history, God has had a chosen people. A people chosen in Christ. Chosen in Christ to salvation. Every period of time, going all the way back to Adam and Eve, God has always had a chosen people. And of those that he has chosen, he calls them in time. He calls them with the gospel. He calls them with the Holy Spirit. And those that are chosen and those that he calls in time are found faithful. Are faithful. We don't have time, we're not going to take the time to consider the calling of God's people. We're not going to take time, we can't take the time to consider all that the Scripture says about our being chosen. But I see John at the beginning of Revelation looking ahead at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And seeing out there a time when the king would come. Not in the air, but all the way to the earth. And he sees those that come with the Lord. I go to the man on the white horse, Jesus. I look back the other way. And I see those that are with him certainly must include those that have been saved and delivered from the tribulation period. There's a multitude of people that are going to be martyred for Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. And they're gathered around the glassy sea. They refuse to take the number of the beast. They refuse to take the name of the beast. They refuse to not deny their Lord. And they're going to be martyred. And I believe they come with the Lord. You have the rapture taking place in chapter 4. All of the saved called up to be with the Lord. It's when you and I will be taken. Before the tribulation period, God's people will not go through the tribulation period. They go up to be with the Lord, forever to be with the Lord, and when He comes, they're part of those that are with Him. I believe it's crunch time for those that will be with Him. It's crunch time for those who are going to be with Him when He comes, according to Revelation 19, to destroy His enemies. You have Russia to the north of Israel rising up, continuing to be a problem. You have China with its mass of people, unimaginable mass of people. You have nations all around Israel coming against Israel, giving Israel problems. God's chosen people. And we need to wake up. This isn't fairy tale.
That's right.
This isn't make-believe. Why do we sit here on this Sunday morning in this place? God is arranging and God is working in the world, bringing about His plan. And soon, very soon, Jesus Christ is going to return to take us up. We need to be ready.
Amen.
We need to be ready. We need to be faithful. We need to be among those who are called, who are chosen, who are faithful in this day and time. The tribulation period will begin after the rapture of God's people. Last for 7 years. And the stage is set. But I don't think most of God's people, I'll say, I don't think most of God's people really believe this. Can you really see Jesus Christ? I mean, really see Jesus Christ with the aid of the Holy Spirit? Can you really see Jesus Christ and it not change you? Can you really believe in the rapture of Jesus Christ for His people? Can you really believe in the horrors of the tribulation period and it not change you? As you think about these things this morning, do they have any impact upon you? Do they change you? Do you wake up to the realization we're on the brink of seeing our loved ones forever go off into eternity without the Lord? And not being there when He comes. Not being found faithful. Our churches need to be living lives and conducting themselves as though Christ was coming 5 minutes from now. But we're not. But we're not. Our churches need to be living as though the stage is set and all Christ has to do is come. That's the only thing that keeps this from being realized. Come for us. We need to be ready. Individuals, pastors, our families. When we really get a hold of how imminent the coming of Christ is, we really get a hold of those rising up against Christ and Christ destroying them, and those that are with Him being called and chosen and faithful. We really get a hold of that. It'll change our life right now. And is it having any impact upon you at all? I woke up last Sunday. Well, I didn't sleep very much, so sometime or another, I opened my eyes to the realization Israel's at war. And I thought, this could be the day. He's coming, folks. He's coming. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to destroy all the armies and all the kingdoms and kings of the earth. He's going to rule and reign. And he's coming with those that are called, chosen, and faithful. Are we? You've heard this probably without exaggeration 100 times before. But if you're here and you're lost, you never received Christ, don't have time for that. Don't want to talk about that. Can you see what's going on in the world? Can you see all the signs? Can you see all the proof that these things are real? By the grace of God, can you and will you see yourself a sinner, repent of your sins, be saved, and be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? I don't want to be a drama queen or anything, but if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ returns, guess what? You're going to be left.
That's right.
You're going to be left. What are you going to be left to? What are you going to be left to go through? You're going to be left to the tribulation period. You're going to be left to go through that horrible time. That's what the Scriptures teach. Don't be left. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be saved today.
Amen.
Oh, be saved today. Don't be left behind. Don't be left to go through this terrible time. See, God's people don't go through wrath or judgment or tribulation. Christ took all that. He suffered all those things for us. All these things take place, we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be with the Lord. And aren't you glad He's King of Kings?
Amen. 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 Let's stand.